Hey guys, welcome to Electronic Dance Money, your number one business resource for making money as electronic musicians and producers. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to a brand new episode of Electronic Dance Money. I'm your host, Christian Casito. We're hanging out with the wonderful and amazing Paxton Connors. Paxton, how you doing, buddy? Yeah, you look like you're doing pretty good.
Yeah.
We poured some drinks. This is the first podcast I'm actually doing. Well, no, technically this would be the second podcast that I've done in person, and I got these microphones rented for us. Yeah, all of mine.
Oh, really?
Yeah, all of mine are they're all fucking.
I do them great quality then.
Like, thank
seriously,
you.
Seriously, I would have never guessed. They all sound studio.
Well, that's the best part about interviewing mostly like producers is that they all have microphones that like they have. You know, they have a DAW. They can professionally record everything. So I'm like, all right, sweet. You record on your end. I'm gonna record on mine. We'll combine it. And it fucking sounds perfect. Really good.
Definitely.
So, but thank you. Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Yeah. We're doing this one a little different. This is fun.
We're about to find out. This is either going to be the best or worst podcast you've ever done.
It's going to be fucking fantastic. I've talked about you on my podcast multiple times. So like my audience knows of you and who you are and what you do. So.
So then, all right, podcast over. No reason.
Yeah,
just fucking hire me.
Yeah, done. Yeah.
Paxton _ Connors at IG.
Go.
Thank you very much.
Go hire Paxton. He'll shoot whatever you want for.
Exactly.
Well, almost. Quite everything.
Yeah.
Anyways, so
well, we'll see. I don't know if the price is right.
So, how long have you been doing photography for? Because it hasn't been long, right?
No, photography I've been doing for a long since. I mean, I guess technically
since college. You've been doing it. How long have you been doing it professionally though? Is like your full time
professionally?
Thing.
I mean, if you count,
because didn't
doing
you like
weddings? Was like it, that? It's like whatever,
well, wasn't like, it like 2019 or 2020? You're like, fuck it, I'm going full in.
Oh yeah, once I hit like, so I'm an old motherfucker. So So once I hit like 40, I broke in like professional, like music, but as far as like the music profession, like about 6 years ago, I went all in and I just, I just decided one day, like this is what I want to do. Like I moved into photography. I had a buddy who was in he just joined a badass metal band. They were on their way up to becoming like super popular. I want to give a shout out quickly to, Ryan O'Leary Tuck. From Fit for a King, the bass player. He's a G. So that was my brother-in-law's homie as they were going up in high school. They graduated together. So back in the day, I used to play bass, and we were in a band, three dudes, including my brother-in-law. And we played a couple shows with Ryan, and we just became cool. We ran into each other in college, and then he dropped out. Actually, he did a YouTube tryout for Fit for a King. And then, so he hit it big or whatever, got in the band. And then he just asked me, because he knew I took photos, to come and shoot him at a show in upstate concert.
What year is this?
Holy shit. I don't know. Man, 6 years ago.
Six years ago?
Count backwards.
2017.
Something like
2016.
Yeah, I trust you. Yeah,
2016.
Really bad at math.
I mean, it's 2016. So sitting there counting with fingers going, wait.
So that's a good idea. Yeah. So about then, that's when it started this dude
You got into specifically with music, shooting shows, you got into that fairly late in your photography career.
Forever. Yeah, I didn't even think about it actually. It was funny, man. The only reason it even crossed my mind is my wife and a friend of ours, we went down to New York City. I'm from New York. We went down to Terminal 5 to go see Keys and Crates. And we were up on the top, the second level of the venue. And there was a dude taking photos. And I just started bullshitting with him. I'm like, yo, dude, how'd you get into this, man? He's like, I just got a credit card. I maxed it out, bought some camera gear, and I just started shooting. And I'm just like... that's fucking amazing. Cause like he was showing me like the photo reel off the back of his camera. And I'm like, yo, that's some sick shit. I was like, it's really that easy. And he's like, that's what I did. And I'm like, fuck it. I'm going to do that. I mean, I didn't go get a credit card. Like, yeah, I mean, I upgraded from like my shitty Canon T2i to like a 5D Mark II.
Yeah.
And then like, that's when I was kind of like, yeah, fuck it. I'll try it.
And you started shooting shows from there. You started shooting shows in New York. Yeah. You're like, just trying to.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say garbage as far as like the music's always dope, but like garbage is meaning like the venues weren't of like a caliber of where they had decent lighting. Right. I mean, like I've shot in places where like there was like two gel can lights with like foils over them for color. Good you know what I'm Lord. Saying? Like red foil, yeah. green foil, and like that. I mean, horrible. Where like I still wasn't using a flash and like I was boosting my ISO to like 6400 and like trying to shoot at like 250th of a second. And like, yeah, it was horrible. But I mean, like, yeah, I mean, it was cool though. I mean, it gets you. It's funny, man, because like when you shoot a lot of garbage. Like, man, I hate saying the word garbage, but like low quality, low budget venues. And then you get to a good one. It's just like, yeah, man, you could pretty much, I feel like you could just set it on like auto settings.
Right.
And just start taking pictures. Yeah. Even though like, you know, you don't, but like,
yeah.
It feels good, man. It's like the difference between driving like a Ford Escort and like a Cadillac.
Right.
Like seriously.
Yeah. You can, it's kind of like as a mixing engineer, when you're working with younger artists that aren't the best, you get that same, you know, the quality is not there, and it's not anyone's fault.
Totally.
You know, they're still learning and trying to figure shit out, compared to when you get an experienced producer who's been in this game for 8 years and they're like, here's the ride. You're like, oh my god, this is fucking fantastic. Yeah, I'll do this and this will be done in an hour and a half, because everything's where it needs to be. All the sounds are there. It'll be super easy to mix and the master will be incredible. Whereas like the lower quality stuff, it's like, fuck, okay, I got to spend extra time to like clean things up and adjust stuff. And it's a night and day difference when you get that level up and you're like, oh fuck, this is just so sweet. Oh my God. The workload is not as much. It's much more relaxed.
Oh my God,
it's much more fun. Yeah, everything about it is a lot of fun.
Yeah. It's a smooth ride. Yeah.
And so we met our story for how we met is fun. I think I've told it before, but
so you do mention me on your podcast.
I do many Thank times.
You, I apologize it for was, not listening to previous like as soon as you asked me on, like I was like, all right, I got to start listening to his podcast. I just didn't think I was cool enough or smart enough to listen to like electronic dance money. Like that just that just sounded too smart for me. So I'm like, I have nothing. Like I'm not going to gain anything.
I mean, if you're not like, an EDM producer, there's really not a whole lot that you're going to take from it. I mean, there's a lot of business philosophy stuff that you can take away and apply to pretty much any business. But the way we met is awesome. It was through Alex, which you had just moved to Austin like a month, right?
I don't even know. I think like he said he found me because like he just looked up the hashtag like Austin photographer, and like he was like, yo, you were like the first three photos popped up, and I'm like, all right, that's cool.
I mean, there right there is a great reason for why you put
hashtag the shit out of everything.
Yeah, seriously.
Like regardless, well, I'm still getting gigs like from hashtags,
especially if you're a photographer. It just makes way more sense. Yeah, people totally are going to be browsing through some of those hashtags, but
don't use hashtag Austin photographer. Just let me continue to kill the scene, please. I'm so broke.
when did you move to Austin?
About 3 years ago, roughly. It was pre-COVID, six months before COVID.
Okay, because we met January of 2020. Yeah, it was totally, right before COVID hit.
Yeah, that was a great night, actually.
Yeah, that was when Alex came into town. He was playing a show at
Empire.
Yeah, yep, yeah, totally at Empire.
Inside, not garage, but what do they call the inside?
I don't know what but it's the inside.
I'm sorry, Empire.
I doubt they're listening to this.
Empire Inside.
So, Alex, he didn't even hit me up. I didn't realize he was playing a show until like a couple hours before. And I called him and I was like, dude, you're fucking playing in Austin? He's like, yeah, come out. We'll hang out. And so we went, he's like, come meet me to get barbecue. We'll get dinner beforehand. I'm meeting with a photographer that's shooting the show. And that was you.
Yeah, dude.
And that's how we met. And I've told people, I'm like, because I've talked a lot on the show about what you really, especially the last episode that I released, which was all about finding a connector. And I talked a lot about you as a connector.
I'm going to have to go back and listen. Thank you very much.
It was a fun episode to record, but the idea of a connector, there's this book called The Go-Giver. I've told you about The Go-Giver.
I don't read.
I'm pretty sure I gave you my copy. No, The E-Myth Revisited.
I have two books of yours though that still bookmarked and like the sections that you want me to read. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, you got to.
Because like I get so like intimidated by reading. I mean, like, it's elephant fantastic. In the room, I have Tourette's, like, whatever. So, like, that with the combination of, like, ADHD, like, I don't know. Like, I just get so freaked out when I have to look at words. Like, I would rather just, see shit visually. Like, step one, do this.
When I get a big fucking book, that's what intimidates me.
Well, they're not even big. They're just starting. Like, the books you gave me are fucking 200 pages.
Maybe.
Yeah, exactly. And I still get intimidated. And then I see, like, the book. I feel like it's a homework assignment.
It totally is.
And I can't read it until like I come back to you and be like, "Hey, man, I read that, dude. Like, let's have a discussion about this."
I wonder. It's got to be the E-Myth and the Go. Anyways, there's an idea in the Go-Giver. There's someone called a connector, and they're the person that's basically connected to everyone that you might need to know.
Mm-hmm.
And so long as they have that, and you're probably gonna laugh at this because
I'm laughing already.
This philosophy of being a go-giver in the music industry is so rare, where you find people who are just willing to help you out and give...
Oh, it is a rarity. Fuck yeah.
Give you whatever you need
just
to help because they want... And without any expectations.
Dude, you
want
to know something? Like, I'm not even lying, man. Like, when I... All right, so back in my earlier days of trying to do this, it's fucking crazy, man. So, like, I went down to this dude just to get, like, a couple of connections. I'm from upstate New York. I traveled into Brooklyn, into some like weird ass area where I didn't know of Brooklyn, for a 20-minute sit down with a dude who was kind of plugged into the industry, who was plugged into like another dude that like was working with C3 management. I'm not going to like mention too many names, but I'll give a shout out to Jay Rogovan, formerly of C3 management, now of Compass Music Group, who was just like actually recognized in Forbes magazine.
No shit.
Last month, man.
Jesus
for being
Christ.
A fucking badass.
Holy shit.
So like he had another buddy that was working with him. I don't want to miss his name because I don't know if it's cool or not. But so I took a train to Brooklyn. Dude, you're talking about like a fucking 2.5 to 3 hour, well, probably like a more of like a 3 hour train ride. To go down there for a 20-minute interview with this dude to like pick his brain for a quick 20 minutes. And like I bought him beer and like a cheese platter like just to sit down and pick his brain for 20 minutes and get as much information out of him
whatever you
as
can.
I could. I was like, yo, Jay hates me. I'm just like, how do I like get information from him? He's like, no, he doesn't hate you. He's just a busy guy. You got to understand. But like, dude, I mean, like, yeah, I don't know how like far off topic that was.
No,
but,
it's not.
Yo, that's the reality, right? I mean, like people, there's always like an expectation, right? Like if I didn't show up with like a fucking six pack of super expensive beer or like, you know, some weird microbrew shit, like it probably wouldn't have happened. Or
yeah.
It was literally like his window was 20 minutes on like a fucking Sunday, you know? And it was like quick in and out. And like it cost, my day was like eight and like a full fucking day's work.
No shit.
For 20 minutes.
Yeah. You're like, you're going to pay $300. Yeah,
train tickets, dude. Like train, like fucking the train from upstate down there, like fucking whatever, man. Like
So finding anyone that's willing to be like, yeah, what do you need, what kind, it's you almost never find it, which is why I've talked about how lucky I am that we had fallen into like our paths just happened to have fucking crossed because Alex saw your post on social media based off of a hashtag.
Fucking luck, and man, that's all it is luck.
And we ran into it, and I give so much. I mean, the reason why I'm able to go to these fucking badass shows and hang out backstage is 100% because of you, because you're that connecting source. You're that connector that can pull those strings and introduce
Thanks,
me to
I'm not
to
really,
people.
But like,
you really totally are though. you totally are. And so The whole point of this, though, is that being able to find a connector like you is by far probably the, it's single-handedly the thing that's going to take you from point A to point B. Like, it is how you get to that next level is finding that person. The issue then becomes, though, is so many producers out there, they don't get as lucky as I was, where I'm able to just stumble upon you. And I would suspect most producers out there are not going to get that opportunity to stumble upon someone. They may, some of them will, but if that's the case, you got to figure it out yourself. You have to become that connector, which is part of the reason why I wanted to bring you on today's episode, so we can kind of talk about what that looks like. Because I think photography and videography is just such an easy route to go. Like, it's low-hanging fruit for any EDM producer that they can... they could start next week. They could rent a fucking camera and just start shooting a show, and immediately you're going to start getting names and introduced. Like, people will come up to you. You don't even have to walk up to people. People will come to you.
I still have to walk up to people.
Well, it depends on it depends on who it is.
Every weekend for work is what's basically happening. Like, I cheat them into buying shit off of me. Like, that's pretty much that's how I roll. It's a tough business. I mean, like, I just think it's all luck, right? I mean, luck in the form of, like, you have to be in it to win it. You know, like, meaning, like, yo, you gotta hustle every weekend.
Yeah.
And, like, you gotta spend the cash, right?
Yeah.
You gotta, like, at first, man, like, you're buying admission, you're buying drinks, you're rolling, like, you're just like, you sit in, like, in the back of the crowd and try to, like, see who's important, like, who's running the show. Like, the first thing I did as, like, a newbie photographer is, like, I always got friendly with the security.
Yeah, okay, hang on.
Therefore, so I, like, well, this is, your no,
this
way.
Is, this is a great fucking point, because I've talked about this, like, so I've talked to so many, or I've talked to producers in person, I've talked on the podcast too. It's like, if you want to start booking shows and getting booked for shows, you become friends with everyone around the promoter. Yeah. Don't go to the promoter, the promoter. Not yet. You meet everyone around that promoter, because then everyone is going to talk to that promoter about you. Then they're going to want to come to you. And that includes security, bartenders, the whole
security
everyone.
Are the gatekeepers.
They really are.
Or key masters, however you look at it like that.
Well, and this is you're the one that taught me that. And I realized, holy fuck, if I'm just, like, a well-known face around here and people you know, I know everyone's name, I chat with them, they know I'm associated with either you or someone else that's constantly there, they'll just be like, yeah, come on in. And even the fucking people that are like, yeah, you know, security guards for backstage, they'll just be like, yeah, you can come through. Like, they don't give... If you're... It depends. It depends on the situation. It depends on how
I don't have that pull at Moody Theater.
Again, we're talking, it also, like, depends Cedar on the venue.
Street and venue.
Yes, completely depends on the venue. I mean, if you go to Emo's, you're not going to be able to fucking... No matter what you do at Emo's, it's not going to fucking...
Well, yeah, because, it's a different caliber.
Yes.
Like, Emo's is like... quote unquote a venue, where, like, the venue downtown on 6th Street, even though it's a venue, it's still, like, a smaller, more wholesome community.
The emo's, like, is like it's literally like it's a concert hall. Yeah, yes, it's great, exactly. You know, it's it is a corporate. It's they're like, just they're pump and dump shows. God, yeah. There's no fucking around unless, like, So that's completely
that's some
different.
Next level
but
shit.
But even then, those aren't even the shows that matter the most, because
definitely not.
Those shows are tours are coming through, so artists are literally in and out. You aren't gonna have time to bullshit with people.
No.
The way you will if you're at like the venue here.
Oh
in
my
Austin,
god,
Texas,
but that's where it starts.
Well, and that's some of the best, like, real estate to be in.
Oh fuck yeah!
Is to be at those fucking venues, getting backstage, because usually they're fairly smaller shows with a relatively big artist, and you can probably end up chatting with that artist or anyone around that artist. And that's where you really want to be.
Well, that's what the value is, right? Like, you don't want, like, I try to tell kids, like, kids, like, that are just starting off in photography, like, fuck trying going after the big names, man. Like, what you want to do is, like, find somebody you really connect with and that, like, you see potential in. I mean, I guess it's kind of like, yo, it's like that A&R, like, you have to have, like, a skill set of, like, do I know what the trend is and I know what the next big thing is, right? You pick out somebody and then you grow a bond with them. And, like, they're their way, that's your way in. Like, right? Because, like, if your homie's at the beginning, I mean, whatever, like maybe 7 times out of 10. Like I've been dumped a couple times, which is sad. But like yeah, that's how you grow, man. Then you're growing with that artist. Yeah. Then you're meeting the promoters. Then you're meeting the bigger names, right? Because you're chilling out in the green rooms. Because they get green room access. For like most artists are cool enough to be like, we have an open green room. There's some circumstances where they're like, nah, kick everybody out. I want to be alone and shit. But that's your true in. It's like finding like someone you vibe off of and then like fucking glomming onto them and be like, yo, dude, like I don't know like how much vulgarity. I don't know. Like,
I fucking curse all the time. It doesn't matter.
Like my New York, like dick riding, man. Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So like, yo, man, dick ride your way in there, bro. Like, yo, ride this kid. Be like, yo, you're the shit. Like you're the man. I love your stuff. Right. And then that's kind of like your next level, man. And that's how you end up meeting promoters and like, then you like talent buyers and shit like that. Like,
let's take a step back and start walking through like the actual process. If I'm just some artist and I'm like, fuck, you know, I'm having difficulties meeting people and getting connections to these shows. I want to try to start shooting some stuff. What's going to be I would assume step one is going to be getting the actual fucking camera.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And then, how are you?
Get a credit card.
Get a credit card. Yeah, totally.
Because you're not going to be able to put that shit out of your pocket.
Like, max I mean, for shit decent. Out.
I mean, like, whatever. I guess, like, people are using phones now.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
Fuck you, iPhone. Fuck you, Google Pixel 6A, you motherfuckers. Like, stop trying to convince people that shit is cool. All right? Your sensor's still too tiny. People are still looking for some big dick shit. Right? Yeah. Like, seriously.
You're not getting Pax and Connor's shots off. Yeah. IPhone.
Or not even, I mean, not me, but like.
Yes, you. Yes, you. Your shots are fucking fantastic. Anyways. Thanks. So, we need to get a camera. Once you have that gear in your hand, what is going to be the next step? Are you just straight up going to a venue and being like, hey, I just want to shoot the show? How do you approach actually starting to shoot some of these shows?
So I would say that depends on like what city you're in, right? I mean, if you want to like just start off in the basic, like, I mean, it's weird, right? So like in New York and New York City, it's a little bit different. Like everybody wants you have to be guest listed in order to walk in with some professional shit. Like here in Austin, it was weird, man. Like when I first moved here, my brother took me downtown. He's like, yo, grab your fucking backpack, bro. He's like, we're just going to go downtown. And he's like, we're just going to walk into fucking clubs. And he's like, you just walk in, like you're supposed to be there. And like, you'll see. And like, it was funny, man. Cause like, I was kind of humble at first. I'm not like a very outgoing guy, but, as I came here, actually, like it was again, it was just like weird, right? You got to have a level of confidence about you, and like, I don't know, it's weird, man. You just fucking roll in, like, just put your backpack on. A lot of smaller clubs, you don't need like a guest list access to have gear, right? You can shoot from the crowd, like you won't get stage access, but like, yo, that's where it starts, right? So I would say like connect with those people again. That's where becoming friends with security guards,
right,
and like security door management and shit like that, like, becomes important. But yeah, man, I just start small. There's nothing wrong with it. Like the lighting's gonna suck and you're gonna have to use a flash, unfortunately, but like that's where you start building your portfolio, to where then, you know, all this information is online. You can always find out somebody's publicist, you can always find out who the fucking promoters are, you can always find out who the club management is, right? Build your portfolio first in like a small manner, and then start pitching to other people. Email the shit out of people. Like, I mean, the way that I started personally was, again, like I had a buddy, like Ryan, joined Fit for a King. And then like from there I was able to shoot like Beartooth. I mean, like big bands, like, but whatever. If I was starting like a little bit smaller, like when I was starting in the EDM music scene, I guess you would say in Austin, like, yeah, we just went to clubs with my backpack on, and I was just like, yo, man, I'm just coming in, just take a couple quick pictures and bounce. Like Vulcan's mm-hmm. a place where like they'll let you in with like a backpack full of fucking camera gear, you know what I'm saying? And then you just roll, man. Like, ask for forgiveness.
Yeah,
that's not the for biggest, permission, yep. Right? Like, go up on fucking stage, fuck it, dude. Like, Vulcan's kind of like open-ended, dude. Like, I mean, the venue's a little bit tighter, like as far as security goes, but yo, just hit me up. I'll get you in for a small fee. No, I'm just kidding. I'll get you in. But yeah, man, start small, dude, like that. I mean, that's the best way to do it. And then once you build your portfolio, then you can start pitching to other people, because then you have like other line, like they just want to see the quality of your work.
What does that pitch look like? If you're okay, if you're like,
you're like, hey, how's it going today? Like your email, my email thread would be like, hey, I see like you pick an artist you want to shoot. You're like, yo, I see there's this such and such artist rolling through. I was just wondering if I could shoot that show. Like, I'm not going to charge you.
Do you contact the venue that you want to shoot at, or are you contacting the artist management?
At first, I was contacting the venue, but like as I went on, like as I like kept doing it, like the promoters are the one who you want to contact.
Yeah.
And like the promoter's always on the flyer. You know what I'm saying? So like, look at you got to do research, right? You got to look at the flyer. I mean, I've big bands, if you want to shoot big bands, it's funny. I used to think that like online publications and magazines were the way to get recognition, like as far as shooting big names. You just go on fucking Facebook, man, and you look up, like half the time they'll have all the info, like their publicist information is on there, their TM management, their general management is on there. Hit them up.
Especially like, if you can find their websites. Yeah, that shit's definitely going to be on the website.
Well, sometimes. I mean, in the metal world, it's not. I mean, in the EDM, it's
EDM,
more,
you're going to probably find it.
Well, they want pictures.
And also artists love to brag.
It's more narcissistic.
Bragging about, I've got a manager. Yeah, here's my bookings.
Like
bands,
I don't know. Yeah. Like, it's so weird. Like, so that genre thing is like so fucking weird. And like how, even just the attitude, right? The general attitude between genres work. And it's like, I don't know, like metalheads, I feel are just, it's different. But the information's out there. But that's probably.
Metalheads, I feel like metalheads are too cool for school, where they're they're like, everything is under them, beneath them. Whereas
but I think they just don't give a shit. They're just like, just give me some beer, man. I just want to chill. Drink,
and then EDM and like, producers are very more.
They want to be in the limelight.
They want you to know that they have a manager.
Yeah, totally.
They want you to know that they're going to do X, Y, and Z. It's very self-gratifying.
Yeah, everything definitely. And it's cool, man. Like, I get it. And that's why I kind of transferred to the EDM world, man. It's because, like, it was way more lucrative.
Oh, for sure.
Like, they're not splitting shit between, like, five dudes in a band. Mm-hmm. So there's no, like, pissing and moaning about, like, yo, dude, we're already paying, like, X amount of dollars mm-hmm. for this tour. I don't know if I can afford, like.
$500
like fuck god man like yeah. whatever but it's cool yeah I mean it's awesome but I guess like yeah that
would you say going I see here's the issue though too with the question I'm about to ask before you answer
I'm answering now
I was gonna mention like do you want to be walking up to the local artists, the openers and shit? The issue there, I mean, maybe if it's just at the beginning, you're trying to build the portfolio.
If you like them, I mean, if you're doing the issue, it just most for the of them, sake most of them, like shooting, I mean, like I do it because I love music, man. Like, I mean, there's been openers that I haven't walked up to, but there's been like openers where I'm like fucking blown away, and I'm like, yo, like I took some dope ass pictures of you. Want them? I mean, basically they're broke. And you're not going to make any cash off of them. You know what I'm saying? We can talk about that in another question. I'm like,
yeah, well, let's
how to hustle.
let's kind of get into like
get some money in your wallet.
Let's start going into that because there's this, what we're really on this topic of becoming your own connector, of finding all these connections within the network. Mm-hmm. I mean, to be honest, if you're like, if any of these producers that are listening to this, turn into you in 3 years
be better than me.
I'm
at the bottom.
If they're able to get to your level in any capacity and get connected the way you are, they can pull so many favors. And so where is the fine line between I'm doing this for favors, I'm trying to get favors from people. Where's the fine line between favors and actually getting paid cash for things that you're shooting?
Well, I guess it's like learning how to read people.
Yeah,
right? I
mean, who you want to work with, who you want to deal
like,
with.
Who can you trust, man? Or like, who's gonna be good enough? Mm-hmm. I mean, it sucks to say it like that, but like, yeah, it's like,
who's worth the free yeah, time.
Exactly. Like who's worth it? Like who's really true to their word? And like, I mean, I guess there's like no formula, but as opposed to like, I don't know, like you have to know how to read people. And unfortunately that only comes with failing.
Yeah.
Like I said, like way before at the beginning of the interview is like, yo, I've been burned. Like, fuck yeah, dude. Like I was burned by, I'm not going to mention their name, but like a metal band that like I shot at it was like a hardcore female fronted metal band at a Planned Parenthood benefit show. Like I saw them, dude. And I'm like, these motherfuckers are going to be big, dude. They traveled all the way up from Baltimore to come and like, come and play this show. And I think like they just got a new female vocalist. Like the way she sang was badass. Like, so she had this like really long mic cable and she would sing in the middle of the mosh pit. Like, oh, while shit. Chaos was yeah. going on. And I'm like, I've never seen that before. Like, maybe there has been. I'm sure there has been. And I'm just like, whatever, naive to the genre. But like, she was badass. The band was badass. The music was badass. Everything about them was like just the shit. And like, I just connected with them. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I went up to them afterwards. I'm like, yo, I love you guys. Like, I work for this like online publication. I want to do an interview with you guys, or like get my boy down here to do an interview. We'll do a photo shoot, a video, like compilation, whatever, you know, like recap of like whatever next show that they're doing. And we hit it off big. And then like when they got on like Warped Tour, which like they got on the final leg of Warped Tour, this is like a couple years later, and like my homie pulled me to the side, I'm not gonna mention, and he's like, yo man, like you got first dibs, dude, like you're a boy, you've been with us from the beginning, blah blah blah, like, you know, just like whatever, stroking my ego, building up my confidence. And then when it came time to pull that favor, like when Warped Tour came around, I'm like, yo dude, what's going on, man? He's like, yo, talk to my manager. And I'm like,
what the fuck, dude?
I'm like, yo, but like, and that's happened a couple times, man. Of like people that I found that were like on the bottom, but like it's that knack, right? It's like, or that you got to be able to find what's big. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how to like build that. Or like,
I think it's hard. It's an
intuition.
Yes. Like, I think it's a gut instinct intuition where you're like something about, and that's what I got when I first met you, where I was like, Paxton knows his shit. Like, he's a cool fucking guy. He's down to earth. And he does know
he's still broke.
We're all fucking broke, dude. Everyone's fucking broke right now.
I'm still trying.
but
looking for that one person that's like, yo, man, it's cool, bro. Come on, little fledgling. You can follow me.
There was that intuition though. I'm happy I follow that, because I here's the thing. I don't know a single person in the scene. I'm sure you can name some names. I don't know a single person in the industry that knows you that's like, oh, Paxton fucking sucks. Everyone loves you.
It kind of feels like that on a daily basis. Where they're like, yo, man, hit up this chump. He'll do fucking anything for like pennies. Like,
dude, no.
I just do it because I love it, man.
Yeah.
Like, I just love people.
Well, I think everyone sees that. They see the passion that you have. You get excited about projects, which is how you should be, especially when you're working with new people. And I think everyone feeds off that energy, and everyone loves you and respects you. Oh man,
I've met
some
like really cool bad. I mean, like I've met like upcoming promoters that have like gone like, yo man, my boy Justin Benedict, let's give him a shout out real quick. He's the fucking shit, dude. Like, and I met him through I guess I'll use her name, like stage name Digital Dre. Like I met my wife and I met her at Scratch House when they were doing like open deck Sundays. And then like pre-COVID happened and shit, and then she like reached out to me like when Austin started opening back up post COVID or like during COVID, and was like, yo, I want you to shoot my joint at like, or like shoot my gig at a Vulcan. And I'm like, all right, cool, man. Like let's shoot it. And then I met Justin, and it was funny, man. The way that I met Justin was like, I was shooting on stage. Right. And like, he comes up to me and he's like, yo man, just like, don't walk in front of the artist while you're shooting. And like, or you can, but like, just don't linger. Like linger in front of her. I'm like, all right, dude. I'm like, yeah, no, I get it, dude. It's cool. Like, I've been doing this for a little bit, you know, in my head. That's what I was saying. But I was like, I was respectful. I get it. It's her manager, blah, blah. I'm like, you know, that's fine, man. And then after the show, man, he just came up to me. He's like, oh shit, dude, I'm sorry. He was like, so apologetic. He's like, yo, you really know what the fuck you're doing. I was like, yeah, I've been doing this for a minute. You know? But like, I don't know where I was going with that, but like, yeah, man, I mean, that's,
Well, we're talking about the intuition thing, like finding people.
I've been drinking quite a bit.
finding those people who.
Let's quick give a shout out to Iron Wolf Distillery and Ranch.
Unofficial sponsor.
Unofficial sponsor. Iron Wolf Distillery and Ranch bourbon.
It's
I don't know
tasty.
How much it's aged, but
it's pretty
really
tasty.
Good with Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola, the unofficial sponsor
of Electronic Dance yeah. Money, episode 90. I think we're on 89, nope. Something like
an
that.
Even number would be pretty cool.
I think it might be because
I'm an odd fuck.
I think it might be 89. I'm so off. Yo,
89 is badass.
It's not bad.
Let's do it.
So, going that intuition thing though, I do think that takes time of meeting people and getting burned. Because I mean, I'm not going to name names,
but knowing what sells. Or
no.
Not sells, but like what's popular. Like that's like your intuition, right? I mean, like that's what makes a good A&R rep, right?
But your intuition when you're meeting someone, knowing whether or not you can trust them, and
tough.
If they're it's and you have
that
to get burned
a lot
by
of
people.
Failure.
And I mean, there's I'm not gonna name names, but we recently met someone the other night where we both were like, oh, this person's badass. And then
you're like,
and then
yeah.
after at
you're like,
once
what
the
fuck?
Yeah, after the show is done, we're like okay, no,
yeah,
this
that,
is
yeah, we're cutting that guy off.
Yeah, this is not. We don't want to. And you don't realize like people will talk all day. You know,
oh, fuck
people
yeah,
will
yeah,
talk
yeah.
and talk and talk. But once you actually see them in action and working, then you get the real insight to who they're.
Yeah,
who
or
they
once
are.
They've been drinking, and
once
then, like,
especially
and, like something like just yeah, just
yeah.
Some weird
once
shit
they've
pops
been drinking,
like,
they say some things, and you're like. That seems like a bit of a red flag. And then you walk away at the end and you're like, no, these are all red flags. Stay far fucking away from that person.
So I guess the lesson to be learned or the point of that is like, yo, just fucking keep going. Right. I mean, there's a lot of that shit. The music business is dirty. Like it's a boys club and like getting into the boys club takes a lot of it's like a lot of failure, a lot of stress, a lot of kissing ass. I mean, you don't even have to, you don't have to get on your knees, man,
but
you just got to like, just be cool, man. Like, I don't know. Like
cool is a big one. And what we mean by being cool too, is like not being overtly obnoxious. Don't get fucked up. And
I never drink on the job, man. Like only afterwards, like when I'm like, oh my god, did I have a good shoot? I'm like, I just need a cocktail.
Yeah,
like,
you don't want to be getting fucked up. You don't want to be talking shit about.
Well, you don't
want to
ruin your craft,
man.
Like you're there to prove a point.
Yeah,
you're there to flex.
And this is the same. I honestly think this is the exact same if you're DJing a show too.
Anything.
Do not get fucked up until like you've done your job. When your job is done, then you can let loose.
Yeah, or if you're like on the like level of whatever. Like like fucking
whatever. Tiesto.
Like,
Tiesto.
That's, I mean, like even like G Rex, you know what I'm saying? Even like some blue collar shit, dude. Like, yo, man, those dudes are tight. Like they've been doing it. They know their shit. They know they're badass.
Mm-hmm.
Like. But I mean, but you're also more relaxed at that level. I mean, like, I don't know, I don't want to speak for them. I'm sure they still get nervous when they're playing like Lost Lands or some like big ass shit.
Right.
But like, yeah, man. I mean, when you're first starting out and it's gonna like I don't know, like, I guess inhibit you from doing your best.
Yes.
Like, don't do it, man. Like, just fucking feed off the fear, like, and just fucking kill it.
Yeah.
Like, that's the way I feel about photography. I mean, when I first started out, like, I would get drunk, dude. Like, I'd get so fucking wasted when I was shooting big bands because I was, like, so nervous that, like, I would fuck up. And like not be hired by them, but like then
you're
I
like self sabotage.
Yeah, but like then I quickly realized that they don't give a fuck who I am anyway. I'm just going through their PR. They don't give a shit.
They're not gonna
everything
remember
they're getting
you,
is
they're
for
not gonna
free.
Remember who you are.
Yeah, I'm paid
gonna,
by the publication. Yeah. Maybe you know what I'm saying. Depending on the publication,
if you're lucky,
they'll
fucking pay you.
Oh, sick.
Back like, for the piss break.
Yeah, let's just fucking do it. Like, let's make this the most. Awkward podcast.
It's not awkward at all. This is fucking great, dude.
I hope so.
This is great podcasting right
This is the most drunk I've been in Texas.
You're drunk right now?
Oh, I'm fucking wasted.
Jesus Christ.
I'm a lightweight, Madison. Dude. This is why I don't
you
drink.
You are a fucking lightweight. Okay, so getting
please
the now
turn off your cell phone.
I realize. God damn it. Totally. When do you start turning favors in? Like, how do you because actually, before we start turning favors in, how do we actually approach getting a favor? Like, is it kind of a wink and a nod sort of a thing where it's like, oh, I'll shoot this thing for you, and you're not explicitly saying, hey, I expect this in the future.
I mean, but you could do it, like, without a doubt. I've done that before, where it's like, hey, man, since you're getting, like, me at, like, this ridiculous discount or for free, like, is it cool? I would say that's the best approach to do it. Like, don't be taken advantage of, but, like, be like, yo, I want this in return. Or is it cool if I do this for this cost or, like, no cost? I want X, Y, and Z. You know what I'm saying? Like, for me, it was like, I just knew. I only do it for certain people. Like, so if I know certain people got pull, like, I'm not going to mention any names, but, like, you can vibe, like, you vibe with it, right? It's all, again, it's like, it's failing. It's like, it all comes from learning how to fail and, like, learn to read what, like, there's pieces of shit in the business and there's people that are legit. I just happened to, like the whole Justin Benedict thing that came to me, it was just like, yo, off that story that I just told, like, we just hit it off. Like, after that, like, I reached out to him after that show and he was like, yo, I dig your photos. And I'm like, yo, dude, I would love to work with you on the regular. And he's like, well, I got this other photographer and I'm trying out three others, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, we'll see from there, right? And then I proved myself. And, like, that's where it comes in. Like, yo, fucking flex, man. Take full advantage. Don't fucking drink on the job. You know what I'm saying? Like, just fucking flex. And then, like, that turned into what it is now. Like, and that morphed into, like, I mean, like, Justin's the man. Like, he's the shit, dude. Like, I've gotten into, like, the Illfest media team. I've gotten into, I got hired by fucking Flux Pavilion because of him. I mean, like, Lucy, the alien. I mean, like, dude, it's crazy. Like, he's the man. But, like, I mean, and again, it comes through failing and it comes through, like, recognizing. And, like who's got pull? There's, like, bullshitters and there's realists. And it's just learning, man. Unfortunately, that's just what it is. And for me, it's like, it's a gut feeling. Like, I've been burned so many times that, yeah, my gut, like, I know how to read an asshole. Yo, you need some more Coca-Cola. Coke. I need Coke.
Unofficially sponsoring this podcast. Well,
thank you, Iron Wolf, unofficially Iron Wolf. Getting me fucked up enough to do this interview. Thank you. This is the most wasted I've been in Texas right now.
So
thank you, Texas.
So when you've got these favors lined up now,
uh-huh.
And like at one point,
well, yeah, you were saying,
like, what point do you start calling?
It depends on what your overall goal is. For me, yeah. Like, I wanted to break into management,
right?
Or at least, like, not management, but consulting.
Yeah,
like, I wanted to be able to take an artist. That I believed in and then build them up.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, I held off and now I'm about to call in some favors. Like, and it's not like because I'm being a dick, you know, it's just because, like, yo, man, like, one hand washes the other. And, like, there's a mutual respect. Like when I met Justin's a rarity in the scene. Like, I'm sorry, I keep going back to Justin, but just because he's a great example. Dude, he is. He's the prime example of, like, the most real dude I've ever met. Like, the most genuine guy. Like, he's a genuine human to where, like, when I first met him, he was like, yo, man, I really appreciate what you're doing. I've always got your back. Whatever you need. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I guess, like, that's who you know, like, who you're going to do favors for.
And they'll hook up the favors.
Yeah, not everybody's like that. No. There's people that I tell to, like, fuck off. Not, like, fuck off in so many words, but I'm like, nah. You know what I'm saying? No, it's going to cost us X amount of dollars, or we're not doing it.
Yeah.
You know, like,
mm-hmm. Put your foot down. I'll
give you kind of a deal, but you're not going to get the best of what I can do.
Right, right, right.
And you're going to give me a shitload of stuff. Like, I want to get drunk for free. Uh-huh. Like, I want to bring some homies. Like, uh-huh. I want like, a four-pack of, like, guest lists. Mm-hmm. Attached to this, but so
is there a point of no return for calling in favors? Because there are, like, especially if people,
I don't know,
are,
I haven't gotten to that part yet. I hope not.
As people are getting bigger, I assume the egos are inflating, and they don't give a shit about anything in the past because that's the past. They're looking forward to what they're,
like,
doing.
I don't think there's a formula for that.
Yeah,
I think it's just, like, it's all on, like, a whim, like. It either happens or it doesn't.
Right.
Like, unfortunately, I think it's just all up to you whether, like, how you consume that failure.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you either, like, move forward and just suck it up, man, or or you just say like, fuck this. Like, right. I hate these. I hate the game. I hate the people. I hate the players. Like, fuck, I quit.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, man. Like, so it's funny, right? Like, so back when I was working for this publication, Chimera Magazine, I became friends with Heidi Fitzgerald, who like runs a lot of big, like she's the PR for like a lot of big metal bands. And I got to hang out with Nothing More, who's out of San Antonio, Texas, by the way. So I hung out with the bass player, Dan Oliver, and we were doing an interview. And like, dude, he was telling me his story. And the best thing about it was like, he's like, yo, when we first sat down as a band, as like a group, he's like, we're going to give this shit 10 years. We're going to give it like 100%, 110% for the next 10 years. And after that, then we'll decide. We'll have another group meeting, and we'll see if we want to continue or not. But he's like, we're going to definitely give it 10 years. Dude, on 9.5 years, the fucking story that this dude told me was like, yo, they were at a festival. They played a shitty stage in front of the festival when people were walking in or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And their van broke down. So he was fixing the van. A headliner on the main stage, like, just couldn't make the show. They couldn't get there and stuff. So luckily, like the owner of the festival walked past their set as he was going into the festival, thought that they were badass, and that was the first person they thought of to fill the slot.
Jesus.
You know what I'm saying? This 9.5 years, yeah, out of 10. Like, so they didn't give up, man. And like, dude, like they were broke as fuck. You know what I'm saying? Hey, like, and they got, like, after that, they had, like, 3 fucking major record labels reach out to them, wanting them to sign multi-record label deals.
You're bringing up just a fantastic fucking point that I brought up so many times. I do love, and I've talked about in a recent episode where I had these guys on from the podcast, the Human Music Podcast, a few producers at the Producer Dojo by Ill Gates. And
shout out
Ill Gates, shout out Producer Dojo, shout out Human Music Podcast. But we talked about this, like, we kind of talked about what does it take to, like, quote unquote, make it in the music industry. And really, the thing about it,
calloused soul,
a calloused soul for sure, being fucking,
yeah, totally. You just gotta be
jaded as fuck.
Yeah, but, dude, like,
but
yeah, just look in your face in the mirror and be like, I'm a piece of shit. I'm a fucking nobody. You fucking loser. And like, you'll get through it eventually. Well, no, you shouldn't do that. But I mean, like, yeah, you gotta be willing to take rejection.
Well, the thing is, though, is that really what separates the people who make it from the ones that don't is the ones that make it just keep showing up.
Yeah, eventually, man, after all the losses, like, you gotta, like, dude,
eventually
crawling.
Like, you crawl to the finish,
bloody,
like,
as fuck, your limbs are gone, like, you're rolling on nubs and shit,
and you,
like,
and you eventually make it, yeah, there, man. If you're just,
I think that,
in it,
yo, you're right, I think that's what it is.
If you're in it long enough and you're actually working towards a goal, yeah, you're now, and you got to be fucking working. I'm not talking you're maybe writing a track a month.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're getting in your DAW.
You
got to
love what you're doing, man.
Maybe once a week. Yeah, you got to be going out to shows, meeting people, trying to build that network. If you don't find a connector like you, Paxton, right? If I'm not able to find Paxton, I better be able to go out and become Paxton.
Yeah, no,
I need to go become that connector to get those connections for myself, and not just for yourself either, for the others that you're going to help along for their journey as well, because you will meet
from
people.
My standpoint, but like, you can do it as an artist as well,
yeah,
you know, like, I think it applies to like whatever job, if you want to be like a TM or if you want to be a general manager, I think like that's the way to go. Like, it's just, it's all about connections, and I think, like, sadly, that's what they don't teach in college, right? I mean, like, if you're going, even in, like, fucking music production school, like, something like Full Sail, there's no, like, hustle class. It's like, yo, bitch, like, 70% of this business is, like, the hustle. Like, connections you make, like, spending money, like, being broke as fuck, like,
going out and fucking staying,
I don't know,
staying out till fucking 4 a.m.
dude,
at a venue.
First time
at
I met you, dude, I drove Alex back to his fucking hotel room at 5:30 a.m. and like, I was like, yo, okay, so my role for tonight is babysitting, but whatever, dude, it wasn't babysitting, it was like, yo, I'd like them enough, like, it was just cool, like, whatever, man, like, that it was a good connection, like,
it was
that was fuck it.
Yeah, that was that. Yeah, that night was
dude. So it was awesome, fun. Dude. We got stories like I don't even like get like I run into that the dude who like had the apartment.
I don't want to mention his name.
Dude, I run into him all the time. Seriously, dude, like at fucking shows, and he notices me, and I'm like, I don't even remember his name.
But, I
like,
don't either.
Yeah, but
like, I remember there was. That was a
wild night, dude. Like, dude, that was the night we bonded. That was a great. Like again, like going back, like that. I guess that was probably like the original point of this whole thing. It's like when we first met.
Yeah,
well, see how off track we can.
I mean, no, we're not off track at all. I mean, this is the whole point of the episode. It's like
badass.
You have to try to find a way to stumble upon someone. Like
you have to make it happen.
You either have to become that person that has those connections, or you got to stumble upon that person the way I did. And it's like
you got to. It's time and money.
Yes,
unfortunately, and you can spend little money. Like I don't know, buy a fucking bottle of water and fill it up at the water fountain.
Yeah,
but like you got to be in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
Like you got to be talking to people. Pretend you're drunk. I don't know. Like whatever. Like it's just that's how important it is.
Yeah,
and like by persistence, eventually you're gonna run into that person.
This
like
really...
I'm not the person. I'm just like it's just I'm not a connector.
You are. You are Paxton. You're a fucking connector.
No, I don't know. Whatever.
You are a connector. You are. You have. I could probably name five names in this industry of like, hey, can you get me a meeting with these people? And you'd be like, yeah, no problem. That's what a connector does. Like,
no, I get it.
You are a connector, whether you like it or not.
That'll be my job.
But I mean that really does separate the losers from the winners. Now, granted, I will say there are people out there where like, I mean, there's fantastic producers that are unbelievable who are like autistic, where they don't do well in social situations, but they're huge artists.
Totally,
That really comes down to. A lot of those people are like musical fucking geniuses where they are writing unbelievable music and they can get those signed to record labels where they're like, we'll handle your management deal with that. Most of you are not those people. Like most producers that are listening to this are not those people. So you got to do that fucking work where you're going out and you have to talk to people. You can't sit in a shell at a show alone, enjoying the show, going home. You have to go fucking talk to people. Yeah. Now,
I mean, like, I'm kind of an introvert, but like, I mean,
when you're on the job, you're on the job.
Yeah, I'm different.
Personality is different than like you hanging out and like,
You're much but more, I have to drink when I,
you're much more introverted when
I don't encourage that. I do not encourage drinking in any way, shape or form.
Sponsored by Iron Wolf Distillery. Unofficial sponsorship by Iron Wolf.
Like it's just me. Like that's just my, I have to, but you're absolutely right. Fuck yeah, dude. Like it's just being it to win it. It's like the lotto, like the lotto slip.
How much do you want to go play shows? How much do you want to have a fan base? Because if a fan base means that much, then going up and talking, introducing yourself to some people at some venues is not that big of a deal. Like, that's what's standing between you and playing more shows is literally you just going and talking. That is what's standing in front of your way. So if you can get over that fear and just figure out a way to get the fuck in and talk to people, everything else is going to start to fall into place. Building off of those relationships, doing favors for those people, and just being a friend as well. Like,
It's all about relationships. It's all about relationships. Yeah. That's all it's about.
Yeah.
Like in my field, it's like 30% talent. I hate using it, but like shit content creators, but like since they're homies with the big dog, quote unquote, they're going on tour. Like, cause it's a friend. They want to take somebody on tour. That's cool. Like
trust is such a big part here.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Everyone knows how scummy people are in this industry.
Yeah. And they'll put up with low quality content or mediocrity.
People will social climb all fucking day and kick you down get ahead.
God,
there's so many people like that, and this is why this is also 70%. Why like building a team of people as you're becoming an artist is so important. That you can trust that will fucking ride and die with you.
It's not even like So I think like the best way to like, even like, it's not like when I meet certain people and they want to connect, right? It's not just about, it can't be just all about business. It has to be a friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Like it has to be like, yo, homie, let's just go chill, grab some wings, watch a football game, or like, let's just bullshit. Like it can't be all about business.
Yeah.
Then people kind of get turned off by that.
Oh, for sure.
No, because you know? Then it's kind of like, oh, this is too like fucking white collar for me. Yeah, like,
it's not natural. It's very forced. This is this is one of the reasons why like just Noah chill. And I became such good friends is because we're total nerds over video games and we also love lifting weights. And like,
yeah, that's about it. Yeah, exactly.
How our relationship was established based off of these things that we really enjoyed together. And we started bonding over those.
Yeah.
And then it was like, all of a sudden, it was like, we're fucked. It was like,
that's the way it is.
And we looked at each other like, are we best friends now?
Yeah.
I think we're best friends now.
That's like, what I'm saying.
That is the difference between finding someone that you can trust and just some sleazebag who's trying to social climb is like, the difference is that you can reach out to those people in a personal way as a friend and ask for advice. Hang out with them and just you don't have to talk about the industry.
No,
like
yeah.
you can talk about
anything. Yeah, you're just homies.
Yeah. Just carrying a conversation.
That I think that's the number one thing.
Yeah.
Is like just be homies.
Be real, totally. Build relationships and don't
that's,
bullshit.
That's my fault. I mean it'd be, my dilemma is like I'm like way older than like my clients. Obviously like Flux Pavilion's closer to my age than
Noah is as
So, but he's even still like younger than me, but like Noah's a G, but we're not homies on the same level that your homie is, but, like, it's way more professional
but
I just haven't, besides I guess like our adventure together, like that's pretty much the only one. Like that was my downfall, and again it's all about learning, right? It's all about like confidence, learning through your failures. It's like homies, like you got to be friends, like there's got to be a personal level. I mean like outside of music, I just started like brand building and managing through content, like other people, and like I'm slowly learning that like it's more about just business.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about just being friends.
Mm-hmm.
And like
mm-hmm.
that's what gets you.
Right,
because
like,
I put out some badass content, man, and like I thought that like I'd be a for sure.
Everyone would be
when
hitting
somebody's
you
coming
up
through on tour, and they're like, "Yeah, fuck that." Like he's just all about business.
Well, and this is
and
this,
it's like we don't want to hang with him. We just want him to shoot our stuff, and like it becomes awkward.
Well, and this brings up another great point too, where it's like the if you build it, they will come thing is just so bullshit. Like it doesn't matter
I mean,
how
you
great
can, they'll come to you initially. But as a continuum, like definitely not.
Yeah,
they ain't coming back. Like that's just the way it is. Like, and it sucks, man. And like that's where I'm learning how to like curb my attitude. I don't know, or like my game. I guess I don't know what you would say, but yeah, it sucks. But like it's bad. Whatever, man. It is what it is. Fuck it, dude.
Dude, I mean, I think we fucking nailed everything. Is there anything else you wanted to mention? Anything?
You're cutting this off short.
I think no.
Thought we were just like chatting.
We're over an hour now.
Holy
buddy.
Shit!
Yeah.
Well, what's your longest podcast?
My longest podcast is probably close to two hours.
Fuck it, man. Let's break that.
You
shit. Are you
break
ready
that?
To break it, no, dude? I want to talk, man. Like, let's talk. Like, I guess, like, what other questions we have? Dude, like, yeah, man, I mean, let's talk. Like, this is pretty wild. This is the most comfortable I've ever been. This is, like, besides, like, a magazine article. This is,
I know, podcasting is chill as fuck. It's chill as fuck. It's so much
totally,
fun.
Totally, dude.
It's
this
so much
is
fun.
Fucking wild.
We could fucking jump into some, because what I really like about you that sets you apart from other photographers or videographers or just anyone else in the industry is you have a really keen eye to how on branding, on what's brandable, how to create a brand, things that distinguish between like the average artist and just a boring ass brand. So we're kind of flipping the script here completely differently.
So you want to go into like branding?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we can even start. talking about some of the project that you and I are working on.
Oh, we're so yeah. I mean, I guess fun. Like the, I guess the first thing, like as far as photography goes, to get your stuff noticed, like, or like we're brand like related, is like, I mean, capturing emotion as opposed to like the money shot, right? I
yeah.
mean, like everybody's got their hands up in the air. There's the fire in the background, but what like made me win is like, okay, so like I'm friends with Goldfish and Dominic Peters, like who's like the bass player / keyboard player. Like he pulled me, like we were just bullshitting one day and he's like, yo, the reason why we like you is he's like, cause you catch like the emotion, like the in-between shots from, he's like, you're just not like the hype guy. He was like, you, he was like, what we saw in you was like, yo, you captured the expressions on our face while we were playing. And not like everybody's like that, you know, like everybody, like there's some dead weight, like where people are like, I'm just like, whatever, they're not having fun. But like, and I guess like, that's like the rock and roll or like metal part of me. It's like, yo, when like people are playing guitar, they're playing bass, they're playing drums or singing, there's a level of emotion that's involved. And like, that's what I like to capture. That's why I got into it, was like capturing emotion.
This actually is a really good point to branding that I've never realized, that mm-hmm. that sets brands apart from other brands is the emotion that they derive from
the experience.
The experience.
That's what you're looking at.
The way the way an artist looks, the way a logo looks, the way everything looks is going to distinguish a very specific emotion. It's actually really fucking good. I mean, you look at McDonald's, all of their branding is expressing like happiness.
Yeah, man. Fuck yeah, dude. That's why they're so over 1 billion or whatever.
Nike is like
100 billion sold.
Nike is like cool. The emotion of like,
but like they're also about the hard work.
Yeah.
Just fucking do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, just do it, not fucking, but like,
yeah,
man. I mean, it's the brand, dude. It's the story. It's the story that's involved, the emotion that's involved with it. I think that's super important.
Well, branding seems to be this very vague fucking thing. Like you hear constantly people talking about, oh, you got to have a brand and you got to be able to sell that brand and it's a unique brand. Fucking vague.
Well,
a lot of those statements are very vague statements. So I really feel like there's this kind of hand wavy thing going on when people are talking about, oh, you got to make a brand that's like a good brand. Like what does that mean? Cause it really does feel like the emotion is everything.
Yeah,
brand
means to me is like personality. Like you can't just like sit down with somebody at a fucking long table with I don't know, like a graphic designer, a web designer, a content creator, or like a logo designer, be like, we're going to build a brand. Like, I think like brand is like involvement. Like you got to like sit down and know the person, like you got to get to know them personally.
Yeah.
Like, and that's how you build the brand. Like what is your personality? What is like, you know what I'm saying? What gets you excited? What I think that's the most important thing. And I think like people are just stuck in this whole fucking thing where it's like, this is what's trending. Let's go with the trend, as opposed to, let's brand you. Who are you? Like, what do you like? What excites you? What do you do? Like, what? I don't know. I think that's the difference. We're like, everybody, like, look at hip hop, right? Like, hip hop used to be fun. Now it's like, yo, mumble rap's the thing, because it's like, now it's like a common brand or a popularity.
Mainstream.
Thing. Yeah, but, and exactly, right? We're like pop music back in the day was just different. It was just, pop means popular. You know, it didn't mean like it was a brand. It just meant popular music. Like, look at the 70s and 60s, pop music, even the fucking 50s and 40s, pop music was different. Everybody was different. There wasn't like a mainstream or like a medium which everybody followed. It was just like you were just popular. And like,
there was,
I think,
a specific
that's where it got,
genre.
Yeah, exactly. I
now
think that
pop
just
is
got
a
lost.
Style
yeah.
now.
Yeah, exactly. To me, like, the best pop band of my time era is probably like fucking Weezer. Like Weezer, like all their shit is popular and they don't follow the norm. They're not hip hop. They're not, I guess like indie alternative or like whatever, man. They're just Weezer. It's just like, I think that's what we're missing now. It's like in branding.
You have a really unique knack for branding. Like, aside from anyone else I've met, you...
I wish.
No, you are. Like, you...
Maybe that'll make me big one day.
You have a talent for spotting a brand, or at least being able to establish and build a brand and know what a brand needs to grow. What did you do? How are you? Is that just a natural talent of yours?
I think
or
so, man.
Is that something just, you've been able to train in yourself where you can spot certain things?
Not even
or
train
hear things.
I guess not train, but there's like it's just. I just listen to a lot of music.
Is it? You know do you saying? Are just, you are I, you constantly thinking of ideas of like, oh, this would be a good idea for this type of brand?
Or no, like, actually,
how do you get yourself into that mindset of like being able to
whatever
establish
excites
brand?
Me? Yeah, like so with what like with your. Like mine and yours project, it was just like, dude, it just came up to me.
Yeah.
Like, I just, like, of course, like, yeah, we were working on something, but like, it has to be exciting. I can't just work with anything, right? I mean, like, my brother's got a super successful company, and like, I'm trying to help him brand other things, and it's cool, and like, but it's not.
You're not passionate.
I love you, brother Petey. But like, it's not like what I'm doing with like Alexander or what I'm doing with you. It's like, yo, that excites me. And then like the excitement that you see that we feed off one another, like yeah. I gave you a name, right? And like you fucking blew up, and then therefore it sparks all sorts of shit in my it has to be in the moment. It's not yeah. like
this
I,
is
do I have things on the back burner? Yeah, there's things I have in the back burner, but it's not as like, I don't know. I think it's like it's all like in the moment shit.
And this is very true that I think a lot of producers will understand and they've heard before where it's like you really cannot force a name. Go grab another Coke. Just go. Yeah.
All right. You can talk while
yeah,
I'm
yeah,
grabbing
I,
another
I can,
Coke.
I'll vamp. But
monologue.
A lot of producers have heard this before, though, where it's like, oh, yeah, we have to you don't want to force a name. Thank you, Coca.
Thank
Coca,
you very much.
Coca-Cola, thank you.
H-E-B, Coke ripoff.
Unofficial sponsor. Oh, sorry. Coca-Cola is not unofficially sponsoring this. Original Cola by H-E-B is unofficially sponsoring. Thank you, H-E-B. The heart of Texas. The heart of
and
Texas.
Randall's, right? Like, Randall's and H-E-B.
Randall's,
I think
yeah.
They're only
yeah.
in Texas.
Well, I think, yeah. Randall's, I know Randall's is owned by Albertsons, though.
I don't know. Then where did Randall come from?
Oh, yeah, I forgot you're East Coast. You don't have Albertsons. Albertsons is like West Coast specific.
New England is Stop and Shop.
Albertsons started in Boise, Idaho, where I'm from.
Really? No
yeah,
shit. Uh-huh.
The original.
So is it start from Boise and then move?
Yeah, and then they like moved. They moved to like Pacific Northwest, and then I think they moved more west, like Southwest, where like California is, and then they moved, started moving
more
east. Oh, so
that, bro. I didn't realize that they were that big.
They're like literally in the middle of the U.S., like the complete west side of the U.S. If you split
shit.
Right down the U.S. Yeah.
Congratulations,
yeah.
Randall.
Albertsons is fucking or, yeah.
If you like literally if you walk into berries.
Dude, if you walk into any Randall's and then you walk into an Albertsons, the stores are identical.
Oh shit.
They're
okay. Yeah,
they no, are no. They are spitting right. images. They're the
yeah, we have
same.
Stores like that back east.
Yeah, it's the exact same. Anyways, you hear this constantly from or artists hear this constantly from people being like, "Oh, don't force a name. It's all, it needs to come naturally." And
you'd be excited.
You have to be excited. But the natural thing is very important. And now coming up with a name, it is forced because you're trying to force a name, like you're trying to come up with names. But what was so fantastic. So, I mean, should we jump into like the project
dude,
that
let's
we're
jump
working
into
on?
It all, baby. Okay. Like, let's, okay. We're breaking that 2 hour
okay.
mark, man.
Okay.
We're going for the Guinness Book of World Records.
So,
longest podcast.
I don't know about you. Got
no, I don't
Joe
know,
Rogan's
like, yeah,
up on those
yeah.
numbers. And we're not
yo, man, Joe
Rogan.
Rogan's a punk. We got this beat. We're more fun than Joe Rogan. No, I love you, Joe.
No, we are.
You're a cool cat.
We're probably. I don't think yeah, we're. More
I just
fun
want to run
Rogan,
into him and beat the shit out of me on Sixth Street or something.
I doubt he would do that. I don't think he would. I'm I sure you. Know. I'm surprised you haven't run into him yet on Sixth Street.
I wish,
dude. He. I mean, he
I
was,
mean, I saw a show with him as Vulcan, like when Justin was throwing a show.
He
like
was.
After
he was.
Him,
he
like
was,
he was. Like he was the show after him, and he was the comedian, the last comedian on.
You know that. That. There's some
but
corner
you're funny as fuck live, brother.
There's some corner bar on 6th Street, like all the way down 6 when you head west. that has all the pool tables. Like the it's basically a pool bar.
Oh, word! I don't.
He was there the other night.
Oh, was pool. He?
Yeah, for like.
Like he was, dude. His set was cool when I saw him at Vulcan. Like, I think he was just trying out something. You know, like
probably,
when comedians try out new material. Yeah. I think like Vulcan is that for him.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I don't know.
If I know his he's opening up, open. He's opening up his own club.
I thought it was like he was supposed to open by like 4th of July he was, last
so
year.
So he's been like pushing it every.
Oh, word! Oh, okay.
Now it's supposed to open like in November. Oh, okay. It'll probably open.
Good luck, brother. Good luck.
You're not that not that we know him, not just, that he's ever gonna listen to this. Yeah. He's never gonna listen to
just
this.
Don't beat my ass, dude. But yeah,
anyways,
man, this podcast. So, have me on your podcast, Joe.
Yeah, good luck.
I'll be fun.
Good fucking luck.
You were just talking me up and now like you're saying like, oh man,
this we're not cool enough to go on Rogan's podcast. No.
Totally. We're funny. We're just as funny as Giles or whatever that other dude, that dude who does like that crazy ass YouTube shit. Fuck yeah.
I fucking wish.
Yo, cheers. Cheers, brother.
Cheers, brother.
This is great. This is a fun podcast. Mm-hmm. Best one ever.
So,
EDM, best podcast.
We just started the EDM. It's a great acronym. Shout out to Chris Graham from the Six.
Thank you, Chris.
He was on the Six Figure Home Studio podcast for a while, but
that's pretty good name too.
He's the one that helped me come up with the name Electronic Dance Money.
Thank you, Chris.
Perfect. EDM. Great.
Hell yeah.
Anyways, yeah, so we started. Why I think you're so good at branding. We'll get into what we were talking about last week. Now, last year, you and I both were wanting to get into starting an artist management / agency, and we had all the resources.
Mm-hmm.
The issue was we didn't have the artist.
Yeah,
we interviewed like. Three, four, five artists that were good artists, like writing good music.
Ass.
And we're like, sweet, we could shape these people.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
We could shape these artists into being like fucking rock stars.
I think the first one was like, it was weird.
The
dude who we met, like whatever.
Yeah.
Like he already had like a team, I guess, set in place that we had to like verify shit through.
Yeah, like, that's, I don't know. Yeah.
It sucked because I think his shit was dope.
Mm-hmm.
Like, unique. I was really impressed, man.
The issue there, though, is I don't think he was pumping out the number of tracks we needed for it to be.
Yeah, totally. Or, like, I don't know, like, if his team was holding them back. I don't know. Like, it was weird. Like,
it was, yeah.
I think it could have been badass. Yeah.
But, so we tried that. I mean, we were meeting every week for a good month, and then we
came up with, like, a plan.
We had a whole business plan. We had a logo, a name, we had everything. We were like ready to go, but we couldn't find a fucking artist.
And then you didn't love me anymore and you didn't call me.
Shut up, then, Paxton. Like,
silent.
Oh,
it was like
what?
Radio silence, static on the radio.
Just like that, just like how you invited me to, what was it? What was the show?
It was
Kill the Noise?
Yeah, Kill the Noise.
No, I'm like, I invited you and you said you didn't want to go. You never invited me. Let me show you the text, and the text you said, I'm busy. You told me that you were busy a specific weekend and couldn't hang out, and that was the weekend to Kill the Noise.
That's horrible. I know, man. Because in my head, I just don't think you love me.
Oh, shut up.
And I'm like,
Paxton.
Yo, man, let's hang. Dude, you're like, no, I've got better shit.
Man.
It's just the old man syndrome.
Yeah, you're out of your mind.
I'm just 20 years older than all my clients.
No, you're out of your mind. Anyways, so... We tried doing the artist thing, artist management shit, and just we couldn't find the right artist, and it slowly died out. And then I've been getting super into drum and bass.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to a point where, like, I started sending stuff to Noah, and he's like, this shit could get released on, like, a big fucking label. So I was like, I started thinking. And for the longest time, I mean, I haven't released music since 2015, 2016. I haven't wanted to do any artist stuff since then. And then I started thinking, fuck, maybe I should meet with Pax and we should talk about maybe having you manage me and us creating an artist.
I know nothing about drum and bass.
Nothing.
DJ Rap, shout out. DJ Freaky Flow, shout out. That's it. That's my extent of drum and bass.
And so we were at the Delta Heavy show, drum and bass show, the other night when I brought this up, and I was
like,
hey,
Delta Heavy,
shout out.
Badass,
Delta
dude.
Heavy was fucking sick.
Dude,
same with Bensley.
Bensley
dude.
Is fucking nasty.
Yeah, that was,
and the dude with the mohawk that went on before Bensley.
Oh, the he's from Houston.
Is
I know
it Justin.
No, it's not Justin. No, no, no.
Fuck, dude. He'd be. I'm sorry.
I can't remember
man.
His name.
He friended
but, yeah.
me on Facebook too, dude. Like, I'm so sorry. You were a badass though.
Thanks
but, for following me on Facebook, by the way, and Instagram.
Shout
you
out.
You are dope, even though I don't. Fuck, dude. I don't remember your name.
It doesn't matter. It's
it
fine.
Does. No, don't
it's,
say that.
It's fine. It's, I'm bad. Sure he feared.
Everybody was
you.
A winner that
night. Well,
but anyway, we, yeah, the drum and bass. Yeah, I don't know shit.
We don't like, know shit. But I mentioned. I started talking to you. I was like, hey, yeah. we should fucking let's meet up on Saturday. Okay. Let's fucking chat about it. Let's see what we can do. And so we literally had a meeting last week on Saturday where we were going to do a brand management meeting. And we're like, okay, how are we going to set this up? Yeah. Like, I want you to be my manager. We're going to do a nice split between each other. And you're going to be like the content guy, create, doing all the photo stuff, videography stuff, doing music videos, shooting the shows, getting bookings. And I'm going to be handling the marketing side of thing, running ads. As well as obviously making the fucking music, and then
DJing,
and then we've got like Noah who can help us with getting signed to some actual yeah. label. So it's like everything's
all Neiman the Noah
shout yeah, mad shout out to Noah, dude,
Dr. Neiman,
and it almost felt like everything that you need to be an artist started to fall in place. It's like
yeah, but it took us about an hour.
Well,
like
hang
we
on.
Were pondering
well,
writing
well, hang
shit
on.
Down
I mean,
on
well,
a board.
Well, but,
I mean,
but all the pieces we need to make a successful.
Oh yeah,
we have the connections for labels. We have the connections for shows, advertising. Yeah, we've got we content. Need. We have yeah. everything. So it's like this is, we would be stupid not to try to do something. And so then, and so that's why we got together and started going over some branding stuff, and what that looks like. And I mean, the number one thing was a name. And we had
that's your whole
list
thing.
Is still gone.
Yeah, we had Weirs.
Yeah, we
like
had
Seven Oaks. Like we
yeah,
were just
we had,
like
no, we had
neighborhoods.
We had Safety First. We had Westlake. We had what was your old band name? That's incredible.
Suicide Sinatra.
Suicide Sinatra. Yes. Fucking fantastic.
I did play guitar and sing in that band.
What was the other? It was some Greek name. Oh, fuck! Man, I can't remember what it was. And
it
then,
was badass,
and then
but
you
then
were,
it didn't pop, though.
And then it popped. It came. It was so natural, but it was like an hour of us sitting here
oh,
just
yeah,
thinking.
That's how
I mean,
it happens.
There was a solid 10 minutes where we were just sitting there, dead silent, like just thinking.
Yeah, man. Like was I was almost like, ready to give up.
We're like, fuck.
I was like, maybe I'm not the guy.
And then
for my boy,
how did
I'm
you?
Like, I quit.
How did you figure out the name,
dude? I just came. I just like was just. I don't know, man. I
you
just
were scrolling
came,
on your phone.
Yeah, just scrolling on. I was just like, I don't know. There's just saw Slush Puppy, and I'm like, yo, man, let's just take the S out. I'm
take
like, yo,
the S
Lush,
out. Lush
I'm
Puppy,
like, what a like a lush, and like in my head, I was like, oh, yo, man, like a drunk dog, like holding up a bottle of booze. I'm like, that's fucking genius. Like to me that's like a party, dude. Like,
yes.
And what's music about? Feeling good, partying, man, even though I don't
and this
really and like inspire like don't drink
but this the, but well this comes back to the branding thing of emotion. It's like
yeah,
I mean,
man, exactly.
The totally. Name invokes a certain happy
yeah,
where it's like
the excitement it's, you got off of it, and then like once you got excited about it, like it just started triggering other shit.
Immediately,
like,
I was like,
I don't
like,
know if it was just buried in the back of my brain somewhere, but like this, all of a sudden ideas just started vomiting out.
The
like,
second I heard the name Lush Puppy, I was like,
you just feel good.
Cotton candy. I was like,
yeah,
I was
exactly.
like, the color That's scheme is cotton candy.
Because you think Slush Puppy, right? Like you think of a fucking ice machine of like pink, blue, what? You know what I'm saying? Like. And what makes you happier? Is like, are you spitting on yourself? Is
that no, what? I've just spilled my fucking drink all over my face. I got
no one
the,
sees
dude,
it.
Dude, goddamn, this,
goddamn,
this is the outfit
pod.
Though. I'm wearing the artist outfit as the first fucking
That's
like
all right.
paper no. towels behind you. Can you hear me? Fucking Jesus. Thank oh, you. Brother. Thank yeah, you. Welcome. I appreciate it. I did the big reveal for the artist outfit today.
No, man, I don't know if you want. I wasn't too sure that we wanted to do it, but yeah, let's do it.
But well,
Lush Puppy, baby.
Yeah,
get ready. This so, shit's about to pop off.
Coming up with the name Lush Puppy, I was like, "Fuck, that's Holy a great name." Color scheme is cotton candy,
it's
and then
relatable.
And then
dude,
you go
because people.
Well, and then you go, dude, the outfit's Don Johnson from fucking Miami Vice. And I was just like, who's Don Johnson?
Fuck yeah, dude. Dude, like, all right, man. So maybe that's where the age thing comes in. Dude, like,
it works. Pimp. It works. And then I looked him up. I was like, oh my God. Yeah, we do fucking light blue shoes, sneakers, white pants. And then we do like a pink pastel shirt and then a fucking button. But I don't even know. We were talking. We probably don't even need the button down.
No, we don't, man. I mean, like, just looking at you now, it just looks like a... I mean, like, maybe you could have winter gear outside.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're spinning in, like, I don't know, Aspen during ski season or some shit. Yeah, right. Like, I don't know. Like, then we could wear, like, a puffy white and then, fucking jacket.
As soon as that name came out, though, that was so natural and it made sense and we got excited. Yeah. It was like the ideas started
Man. Like, that's what it is. The lush puppy connection.
The lush puppy boat party on fucking Lake Travis.
It's like infinite. It's infinite.
And then we start, if that gets big enough, we could go with the lush puppy cruise. We go like cruise with lush puppy.
Yeah, exactly.
And everything, all of a sudden, that all the names start flowing naturally for these ideas that you have. And we started piecing together, there's the ice cream museum in Austin where we could go shoot videos at.
Shout out the ice cream museum in Austin.
All of the whole color scheme goes with our color scheme. Everything about the brand, like the ideas that we have, it all fits, all flows, and it's all natural. Nothing's forced. And this,
And I think that's what it's for.
Well, that,
like, you got to be willing to take the time.
Well, and everything has to be that natural for a good brand.
It can't be forced.
A good brand does not force these ideas. A good brand, you say a name, and the ideas naturally come to you, where you're like, this will work with that brand.
I think one that pops off and separates itself from others. Right, like your Reeboks, your Nikes, your whatever. Like, I think those brands stand alone because they did that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's brands that are successful. Like, you can go into, like Armani, Gucci, Versace. They kind of all seem the same. You know what I'm saying? Which is cool, but it's not a Nike.
No.
You know what I'm saying? It's not like Versace's Versace's. Versace. But like, I mean, like,
but even GC, then, but what's like, the difference between Gucci and Versace?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they all do like black and white. It's all
gold.
You know,
gold,
exactly. Yeah, it's like bougie type shit, man, which is cool. And like, I'm not knocking
green.
It's not fucking Nike. It's not fucking Reebok. You know what I'm saying? It's not Coca-Cola, McDonald's, like where like they're like trendsetters.
Yeah,
like you got. I mean,
a great example that we had come up with last week was fucking look at Marshmallow.
Yeah.
Hate him or love him, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
that's a fucking brand.
It's a brand that sells bigger than ever. Dude, he had like his own, he was the first one to have his own character on that fucking video game.
Oh, Fortnite?
Dude, what the fuck? Where he threw a house, like a party on fucking Fortnite. Like, first one to do it. That's what I'm talking about. Like, that's like next level shit. I mean, and there's nothing wrong with like following trends. It's cool, but like if you're going for next level, then it takes a little more patience.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the difference.
Well, and I think this is the big difference. When
like, we could have gone with Westlake or like some other shit, which was like badass,
but it's not as brandable.
It's not Lush Puppy.
No, it's not the brand. Like, it doesn't like
you would have fallen Westlake's in the cool same and shit.
The same. Yeah,
dark. Black, gray,
exactly,
type
exactly.
Shit, maybe reds, like,
yeah.
Fuck that.
It's
dude.
The same
like,
fucking thing.
That. Yeah, everybody's that.
And patience, I think, is a really good point here. Where you know, I've talked about this, and it goes back to your previous point about how that band that you were talking about, where they decided, hey, we're gonna give this 10 years. We're gonna give 110%.
Nothing more.
And I'm hitting my 10 year. I've been in this industry for a decade.
Yeah, yeah. See, that's what I'm saying.
And I got to a point where I'm like, I think I found the artist that I want to be.
Yeah, fuck
and it
yeah.
takes that long sometimes.
No, it does.
And sometimes you have
10 years.
Sometimes
like,
you have 10 artist names that you go through before you hit that point,
that's
okay.
Well, RL Grime had Clockwork, right? I mean,
Marshmallow was .com.
Yeah,
before,
that's what I'm saying. Like right before he hit is like Marshmallow. Like, and that's
.com
that's
was happened. Never all that successful. He was like an electro producer that was kind of obscure and like unknown. Yep. And then he found Marshmallow and immediately blew up. So. Yep. I think you really have to say to yourself, this is going to take 10 years. Like if you're in year one right now as an EDM producer, don't expect that in 2 years, you're going to be main stage EDC. Get that fuck out of your head.
Yeah. Don't, don't
strive
towards it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Don't strive towards it. Like, just let it happen. Like,
it needs to be natural, and expect it to take 10 years. If you can expect it to take 10 years, then anything before that 10-year mark is just luck, and be happy with it, and it happens sooner. Fuck sweet. Yeah. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah.
But having that 10-year expectation is what gets you into the mindset of the grind, of knowing that I just need to put the hours in, I got to put the time in, and things will naturally come. But you do, I mean, they will naturally come so long as you're putting into it. Like, you gotta put in to this whole thing is what you're going to get out of it. Yeah. So if you're bullshitting for 10 years, you're going to get bullshit out of it after 10 years. If you're really, truly being honest with yourself and really actually working, then you're going to get what you're putting into it. And if that's a lot of love and dedication and heart and honesty about yourself, you're going to get that back out of the industry. And along that journey, again, we've talked in the past about, you don't know about this, Paxton, but on the podcast history,
I don't know. No podcast history.
In the podcast history, we've talked about like enjoying the journey, and Gary Vee has talked about that a bunch. And dude, again,
it's another vague thing
where it's like, what the fuck does enjoying the journey mean? But enjoying the journey really is about this thing where it's like, you're on this journey for a decade, and whatever twists and turns that come, you follow those naturally.
Yeah.
You don't complain about them, bitch about them. Sometimes it might be rough. Sometimes it's easy. Sometimes exciting. It's exciting. Sometimes it's depressing, but it doesn't matter because you're on a much different journey than anyone else in the world.
And it can lead anywhere.
It can lead. You have no idea where it's going to lead. You could end up so far in a different space than you originally thought, and be very happy and grateful that you ended up there. Dude. And that's what enjoying the journey is all about. That's me, man.
Like, I started off in graphic design and then eventually, like, photography was like my minor, I guess you would say. And like, eventually that became like my life's goal. And then like that branched into like videography. And then like, now I like want to get into branding. I mean, and it all like plays into one another. It's like, yo, I wouldn't be able to like properly brand unless I had that graphic design background. But like, I didn't think about it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it was in the back of my head after graduating from college or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But like, it led me down like different roads. And like that's important, man. Like,
I mean, I've been led down a completely different. I started off
You're just a smart mother.
I don't think so. I'm fucking.
You read books.
I'm an idiot. That does not mean that I'm smart.
Yeah, it does. I know, like, people. I have to watch tutorials on YouTube in order to learn something.
No, that does not make you stupid.
It does.
It doesn't. I've watched plenty of tutorials. Everyone listening to this podcast.
You also read.
And fuck you, but everyone listening to this podcast, all they do is watch tutorials. So.
No, you read. You all read.
Rick Rubin's a great fucking example.
Yeah.
Because he's like, he built a team. Anything. Well, this is where like building a team is everything.
Yeah. If you know technical skill, but he's a genius.
If you know how to build a team, you can get anything done.
Yes.
This is where, like, now, Grant, well, Rick Elon Musk. Elon Musk is another great example.
Yeah, exactly.
He knows he's a genius.
Yeah.
He knows development, right. He knows coding. He knows how to do physical things, but more importantly, he knows how to build a team of talented people who can get a project done, a significant project, like taking humans to Mars, creating a colony. He knows how to build that team to get us there as the human race, which is far beyond, like, you want to talk about a project that far exceeds any of our lives, any of our lifespans. That's a project that is going to exceed any of our lifespans.
Oh, he's my idol, dude.
Elon Musk is incredible.
Yeah, dude. Like, what's his name from Apple? Fucking
Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
Sorry, Steve Jobs.
Recipe. R.I.P. R.I.P. Steve Jobs.
R.I.P. Steve Jobs. But like, dude, the dude was just a visionary, right? Like, he wasn't necessarily like a technical like adversary, but he reckoned like, yo, this is the shit. This is what we should be doing. He recognized like the void that should be filled, and he like had an idea to fill it.
Right.
Like, that's when it comes to me and music, that's what I want to be. Like, I want to be the, I want to be the Rick Rubin of EDM. Like, I mean, and not because like I want to do it because of arrogance, but like I want to do it because like I love the music.
It's, it hasn't been done before, and people, I feel like people don't think, don't realize that it can be done the way that Rick Rubin has.
Changed. Dude, like, I want to be that guy. Like, I want to be the dude who's like, yo, you've got potential. Come with me. Like, I'll hook you up with like a mixer master, or like a Christian, or like a fucking an OG, like I guess like I would say like logo designer, like my man. Like I don't know. Like I just want to connect people with people, because like I know I see the best potential in everybody. And I want to connect them all together. Love everybody.
This is why you're a connector. That's what I'm talking about. Like, you do have
that. I guess
that,
I see that.
Yeah, you do have that inherent thing where it's like, you,
I just love everybody.
You want to connect people.
Fuck with, yeah. And I want to see people blow up. Dude.
That's, like, that is where the inherent, like, the, you have so much value to give to this world.
Oh, thanks, man. And I hope I do, because I'm about to die in like 20 years.
No, you're not. So, like, no.
I'm going gray fast, and like I want to just say like I love you all, and I want to make you like bigger than what you think you are.
we fucking love you, Baxter, man. Thanks, you're the fucking man.
Thanks,
and
man. I appreciate it. Like, dude, I just love what I do, dude. I love.
I know. EDM. I know. That's why I'm fucking. That's why I'm working with you, because nice, it's like nice. I appreciate it. Since I met you with Alex when he was playing a show, like I could see the passion. Alex is.
He's another innovator. Like, yeah. So he motivates me to become a better version of me. Mm-hmm. Like when I met him and like we were all hanging out, I'm like, fuck, dude, like. This is what I want to be in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We went to some weird ass party in the middle of fucking nowhere, dude, with some like dude who owned some weird ass apartment. Like, dude, I remember like you going to me being like, what the fuck are we doing here? Like, you know what I'm saying? Yes. Like, but dude, like we followed through, and like what happened was like better connections, mm-hmm. man. Like,
Not even necessarily better connections, no, but building a relationship.
Fuck yeah,
we
dude.
Build like, a rapport. That's what it is. We had an experience with each other that was unique to anything else in our entire lives,
and we still kept that connection with Alex. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, so, like, yo, shout out to fucking Alex, man.
I still,
the fucking man.
For the last 2 years, Alex and I have been putting on a networking meetup every month, Zoom networking meetup. Like, anyone can join it that wants to come hang out, ask questions, mm-hmm. and we talk and hang out with other individuals that are involved in the music industry, not just electronic music, but just the music industry in general. And so, like, I built that thing with Alex where we have a good relationship over the last 2 years, and we're keeping that thing going, and we're growing it. And it's just a fun thing. And it's the same thing. Like, I take time out of my day. Not that I don't think this is important. Well, maybe I do, but I mean, I take time out of my day once a month to spend about an hour and a half to go into a Zoom meeting with a lot of artists that are nobodies, that are just getting started, and they don't know where to start. Like, I've talked to many people who, like, they have no idea what a DAW is, a DAW, like how to record music, how to start making music. They don't know how to record a vocal, like. And so I get, or even producers that are beyond that, where they do know how to write music, but they don't know how to market their music. And so I'm in a position that I'm grateful to be in, where I'm able to sit down for an hour and a half and talk with that individual and give them advice and give them feedback of things that I've learned over the last 10 years, and tell them, this is probably the best route to go down to where you can get to the answer you're looking for as soon as possible without having to go over all these fuck ups. And, you know, I give my contact information so they can reach out if they have any issues, but that's what I love, is like giving back thing. Yeah. Where it's like, I've learned so much from my own mentors over 10 years. I've learned so much from other individuals. And the only way that I think I can stay true to the individuals that gave me this information and taught me the things that I know, I think the only way that I can represent those individuals as best as possible is by giving that information to other people and spreading that knowledge and just helping as many people as I can overcome the biggest obstacles at the beginning of their journey, because that's the toughest part, is really the first 5 years. First 5 years is very difficult, where it's like you're unsure, you're still learning everything. You don't know where this is going to go. You don't know the people you're going to meet. Maybe you get fucked over a couple of times and that dissuades you. I think it's important to have some sort of authoritative voice. Authority is not I don't think that's a good term to use, because that's really a negative term. But
I mean,
an individual who's vetted, veteran in the industry, of someone who can tell you explicitly, like, this is probably a better path to go rather than this one. Yeah. But I'll give you the benefit to the worst path. I'll give you the benefit out of that one, and I'll give you the negative out of the best path.
Yeah.
So it's like you can balance. I think it is important when you're giving advice to balance everything out. Like, there's a negative and a positive to everything, but what's the positive that you could get out of the negative? And what's the negative that you can get out of the positive? That way you can really get a good, clean, even, balanced field out of all of the information you're getting, and you can make the best value judgment for yourself or another individual, and you can kind of move on from there. And that's a experience that you gain that you can, you know, push forward and just build off of.
Yeah. You know? Oh, definitely, man. Fuck yeah. Yeah, that makes the most sense. Yeah.
Dude, we're at fucking an hour. Jesus. 40?
Word.
I thought no, 240. Sorry, 2 hours.
Word? Really? 2 hours and 40 minutes? Like, is that what you said? All right, like, I'm going to take a pee break.
No, we'll cut this off. Well, okay. I think we're good.
All right. All right. Cool.
We're good. Paxton.
I'm so wasted.
We're both fucking. Like, what is. Plug some stuff. How can people find you? How can they follow you if they want to hire you? What does that look like?
I guess, like, bogocontent.com is the best way, I guess, to, like, look at my portfolio, or follow me on Instagram at Paxton_Connors, CONNERS. Thank you very much. Fucking hire me, man. I'm a broke ass motherfucker. And, like, yo, I love you, man. I will make you look cool. I promise.
Paxton,
man.
Will.
I love you all. Like, seriously, man. And, like, thank you, Christian, for bringing me on this podcast.
Of course.
Like, I'm grateful for you. Like, I'm truly thankful for our friendship and, like, this podcast interview, man. Like, this is awkward for me. Like, I'm grateful. Like, seriously.
No, I think we're probably going to be starting our own podcast together.
I don't know. Like, unless I, like, become, like, an alcoholic with, like, a liver disease issue. Like, there's no way I can talk to any. Like,
I disagree.
Whatever, man. But, like, it's been cool, man. Like, thank you very much, dude. Like,
of course.
I've got a pee there.
Yeah. Like, no, you're good, man. Step away. You're fine. If you want the show notes, everything we talked about in this episode, head to enviousaudio.com/episode89. All Paxton's handles will be there if you want to hire him or chat with him, whatever you want. But thank you guys so much for hanging out, chilling on this episode. I'll see you guys next time. Take care.